button there. I just don't care. Can you run this one? Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uttakam Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vagnatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakan Vitamscha. Okay. We're about to begin text 11 of the Vajra Rahasyam, and we're finishing with just a brief introduction. We're discussing about Shikshastakam. You can come up closer, I think. The men can come a little closer. There's no problem. And we were discussing an idea how we should consider that Lord Gauranga is our Bhajan Shiksha Guru. We may have Diksha Guru who gives us Kam Gayatri, Guru Gayatri, Guru Mantra. And then we have different teachers that help us perform Bhajan, teach us how to chant properly, do kirtan, to do meditation, to do puja, and to conduct ourselves as Vaishnavas or as yogis of devotion, bhakti yogis. So these are known as bhajan. Bhajan is the way of worshipping Krishna, internally, especially with the mind and heart. So they're known as bhajan shiksha gurus. So this the shikshastakam, these eight prayers that are given by Lord Chaitanya, they are shiksha, they are teachings, they are instructions. So we can consider that Lord Chaitanya, although he's not here, he left. Does anyone want a fan, or is it cold enough? Is it okay? You want? Because for me it's quite cold, because we're Indian practically. But you feel okay? It's alright. Although Lord Chaitanya left 500 years ago this world, behind him he left these eight instructions. And so they're teachings, so shiksha means teachings, so he's a shiksha guru. And these particular teachings are teach us how to enter into bhajan, and ultimately how to realize our spiritual form. What is our eternal spiritual form? It's called Sarup Siddhi, perfection of realizing our own form. Now we have this form. I'm Indian, I'm French, I'm German, I'm Swedish, I'm American, man or woman. This is a form, but it is temporary. It won't last very long, 70, 80 years at best. But underlying this form is the Atma, the Jiva, the living entity. And as we have a form externally, the Jiva also has a form internally, but it's dormant. You should have asan. You should sit on some asan, some mat or something. There's a mat there, you can take that and spread it out for the other lady also. It's quite cold now. And also they say when you're doing bhajan or chanting, if there's not an asan, especially a seat, asan, a seat, wool or jute or some grass or sometimes you see deer skin or tiger skin. Yogis may sit on a deer skin. When you do bhajan, the results and the energy goes out. It goes out into the ground. So the asan has a neutralizing effect. So it's in one sense, it's an essential aspect of sitting down as to when you do chanting or reading or meditation, is to have some proper woolen seat or silk or it's called kusa grass, like this. You've seen pictures in the movies, somebody sitting on a tiger skin or deer skin, isn't it? But in our line, we don't like to kill some tiger to sit on his head. Sit on a tiger's head. Usually for tantric people, they sit on these type of things, or yogis, or sometimes big acharyas. You can see in Kumbh Mela, we've been twice to Kumbh Mela. But it's not, Vaishnavas don't usually, they sit on kusa mat like this. So Lord Chaitanya, when I was writing my notes, is he's our bhajan shiksha guru. And we were discussing about, we were trying to make a comparison. We left off yesterday how in Dwapara Yuga, which was the time period or the age before this, what we call Kali Yuga. This is the age of darkness, Kali Yuga, age of Kali. And before this was Dwapara Yuga, and that was the age of Puja or Archan. So Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita with 700 verses. And then Lord Chaitanya came in this Kali Yuga, and he spoke 8 verses. And Lord Chaitanya is none other than Krishna. So he made everything a lot easier. We only have 8 verses of instruction. And he packed everything into 8 verses. So Krishna appeared in the material world as Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya himself took Diksha from a guru. And under the guidance of Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, he relished and realized many confidential truths that he never knew or understood before. In other words, when Krishna was here as Krishna, he was mystified, he was extremely mystified and attracted by the sweet loving dealings of Srimati Radharani, how she was serving him, what happiness, the greatness of her love, and what happiness she was gaining and experiencing by serving him and satisfying him. So he wanted to learn about those things. So he learned about those flavors of love from Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar. Because Lalita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi, they came into this world again as these two male personalities, Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda. And then Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya, Radha and Krishna combined, but really Krishna and Amura Vyadha. And then he started to take instructions. So Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna taking Shiksha. So he took Shiksha from Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy. He learned everything. He learned all about Radharani's heart. There's a special type of love in Radharani's heart. There's bhav. Bhav means love and deep feelings. But when it's extraordinary love, it's called mahabhav. So that mahabhav that was in Radharani's heart, he learned all about that. And once Lord Chaitanya learned about it, how it all worked, then he wrote about it and spoke about it in Shikshastakam. So one Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and Sri Krishna Chaitanya spoke the Shikshastakam. He's the same Krishna. He's the same Jaiho, Damodar Maharaj ki Jaiho. He's the same Krishna. He's the same Krishna, but with more realization. This is what Acharya said. Lord Chaitanya is the same as Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya came 500 years ago. So he's the same Krishna, but with more realization and more experience. And he put all of this into the 8 shlokas. In other words, if you compare the teachings or the writings of Lord Chaitanya in the Shikshastakam, which is 8 verses, Chaito Darpana Marjanam Bhava Mahadavadni, like this, and you compare the teachings of Lord Krishna gave in Bhagavad Gita about Ishvara Tattva, about the Godhead, about time, about karma, about prakriti, about the jiva and the atma, you'll see you'll see some similarities, but you'll see a vast difference. They're much more, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya in 8 verses are extremely deep and complete. So you see the extra mercy of Lord Chaitanya for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. Krishna's teachings in Gita require 700 verses to understand. But Lord Chaitanya simplified everything, compressed all conclusions of the Vedas into 8 shlokas. Like we have something called Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta, people have heard of Vedanta. After Srila Vyasadeva wrote all the Vedas, and he wanted to compress them and make them accessible, because it's a little difficult to put all the Vedas in your book bag. If you want to travel around India, you have to carry all the Vedas, so many books, Upanishads, 108 Upanishads, 18 Puranas and Itihasas and Mahabharata and Ramayana and Agamas and so many. You have to have a huge trunk. So he synthesized everything into, you can say, sutra means a codified knowledge or condensed and compressed knowledge, Vedanta Sutra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made even a sutra on the Vedanta Sutra. He took the Shikshastakam with 8 verses. He put everything in 8 verses, A to Z, the entire Vedas, which is vast. Everything is there, and even more, actually, because these sublime truths of Radha's love, which are pretty much, there's some slight indications in some of the Vedas, but until Jayadeva Goswami came along, and wrote Gita Govinda, the fullest expression of Radharani's love was not really evident, self-evident, in the Vedic writings of Vyasadeva. It's hidden in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But so Lord Chaitanya is making it very clear. Because in Gita, Krishna's telling, he says, Vedaishchasavaham eva vidyo vedanta krid veda vedevacham. He says that all the Vedas come from me. I have compiled all the Vedas. He wrote down all the Vedas as Srila Vyasadeva. And he's the knower of the Vedas. So Krishna's telling that, I've compiled all the Vedas. I'm a Vedaham. I know all the Vedas. But yet, Krishna's telling this in Gita and Dwapara Yuga. He understood all these things and he wrote all the Vedas. But he still didn't understand the heart of Radharani. So you can imagine, Krishna's writing all the Vedas, Vedaishcha Savera, Sava Veda, all the Vedas he's written, understood, and given to humanity. But still he was perplexed and could not understand the sweet love in Srimati Radharani's heart. So again he came back to this world to go to summer school, or he repeated the class. And this time, instead of being a teacher of Gita, he became a student. He became a student of Prem. Krishna is a teacher of Gita and all the Veda Tattva. Because Lord Chaitanya became a student of Prem, to learn about Radharani's Prem. And no one knows better than Vita Sakhi and Vishakha Sakhi, who appeared as Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda. So then all the teachings that Krishna learned everything. In the school of Gadadhara Pandit, right? He had three teachers. Gadadhara Pandit, who is the embodiment of Radharani, and Swarup Damodar. They taught him, and then he assimilated their teachings, and he assimilated them and experienced them to such an extraordinary extent, actually in the form of Lord Chaitanya. Krishna was experiencing Radharani's love. He was learning about it. He was tasting it, experiencing it, but it was exploding within him. Radharani was experiencing all these ecstasies, but she was so sober, or she is so sober, she's able to contain all these ecstasies within herself. We don't read anywhere of Srimati Radharani displaying Korma Radharani form. There's no Korma Radharani. Have you ever heard of Korma Radharani? But we do hear a name. Korma means turtle or tortoise. We don't hear of a Korma Radharani, but we do hear of a Korma Chaitanya right in the pages of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when it learned about and then started to experience firsthand, directly himself, the love that Radharani was experiencing in her heart, it exploded him. It blew him to pieces, so to speak. I mean, Radharani, she's experiencing all these ecstasies and she's containing it and simply maybe crying or shivering or choking her voice or color changing her hair standing on end. But when these same ecstasies in love of Krishna, when Krishna takes those ecstasies from Radharani's heart and experiences them in his heart as Lord Chaitanya, then he can't contain them. He becomes completely distorted and transformed, and even so much he becomes like a pumpkin, a golden pumpkin, where his arms go inside his body, like the Jagannath form, his legs go inside his body, and his disciples found him like that, his followers found him like that, like a huge, effulgent, shining golden pumpkin outside the gate of the Puri temple. You know, because a turtle has the ability to put its arms and legs and head outside of its shell, and then in times of fear or danger, withdraws in the shell. So due to the intensity, the incredible, unlimited intensity of Radharani's Mahabhav that Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya was feeling, he became immobilized. He transformed into a turtle. At that state, when Lord Chaitanya is experiencing intense ecstasies of Radharani's Mahabhava, it's called Korma Chaitanya. But there's no Korma Radharani. Her arms are there, her face, everything. But in that same ecstasy, experiencing all this, And then saying, oh, I have to write about this. So all of these experiences and all these teachings and all this Radha Pranaya Mahima, the greatness of Radharani's Pranaya, is written in Cheto Darpana Marjanam Nam Namakari Shlishivapa in all the eight shlokas. So that with this brief introduction, we can see the vast difference between the teachings of Bhagavad Gita and 700 shlokas and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Shikshastakam in eight shlokas. And we said that Lord Chaitanya simplified and compressed all conclusions and more in eight shlokas. It would be difficult to memorize Krishna's teachings in 700 shlokas. But Gita, the 700 shlokas of Gita, but the merciful Lord Chaitanya, his teachings are very easily memorized in only eight shlokas, which we discussed. Now there's a small, I want to, just an introduction, we'll begin this first Cheto Darpana Marjanam. We should just imagine that it's 500 years ago, and we're in Jagannath Puri, and the Bay of Bengal is there, and which is the ocean, practically speaking, it's in, like an ocean. And we've all reached Purushottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, and we, by train or plane or whatever, it's 500 years ago, we walked there. Take a few months from this side. Takes 1 month from Mayapur, or West Bengal, to walk there. And we walk by the Jagannath Temple, and we see the chakra above the roof of the temple, and we offer pranams, and we just offer respect, and we quickly go down the road, and we turn left, and we go into the doorway, the entrance gate to Kashi Nisha's compound, and then we run into the Gambira, and then we sit down, right? Because the Gambira is a very secret and confidential hidden room inside of Kashi Nisha's house. And there, when we go inside, we will see, sitting there, a few devotees are sitting there, Rai Ramananda and Swarup Damodar Goswami, and they're listening very attentively. They're listening very attentively, as Gauranga Mahaprabhu says, Cheto Darpanam Marjanam Bhava Mahadavardi Nirvapanam Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidyavadu Jivanam Anandam Burivardhanam Patipadam Punamita Swaranam Sarvatma Snapanam Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. You have to have a good imagination to be, because it was a very confidential meeting there with only a few devotees. And in his ecstasies, he's speaking out these verses. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur begins his commentary and explanation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastakam with verse 11, and this is a translation that's given here. Let there be supreme victory for the chanting of the holy name of Sri Krishna, which cleanses the mirror of the heart and completely extinguishes the blazing forest fire of material existence. Sri Krishna's Sankirtan diffuses the moon rays of Bhava, which cause the white lotus of good fortune for the jivas to bloom. The holy name is the life and soul of transcendental knowledge, which is herein compared to a wife. It continuously expands the ocean of transcendental bliss, enabling one to taste complete nectar at every step, and thoroughly cleanses and cools everything, both internally and externally. It cleanses, including cleansing one's body, heart, and atma, self, and its entire nature. So, I just have an introduction again. There's a lot of introductions here. It seems like only class. Someone said, how many classes of introduction do you have? And I say, well, because this class will go on, I don't know how long it will go on, at least for Kartik, by the Lord's mercy this year, and probably for a few more Kartiks, because we decided just to go as it goes, step by step, because some devotees are filming it, so if it's continuous, then at one point it's on a DVD, and it just goes like this, so it's easier. So, this is in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is it's a marketplace. As this is the analogy that Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained, that Nityananda has opened up Naam Hatha, a marketplace of the holy name. So in a marketplace, there'll be good, many goods will be sold there, many clothing and food and other items. So in this opening verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is announcing to the world that I'm offering seven treasures in the marketplace, and they're very attractive treasures. And so he wants to, and all these treasures are available in the holy name. So he wants to attract us to his store by saying, listen, I have seven wonderful things here for sale. And it's not very costly. I will also tell you the price that you have to pay to obtain these seven treasures. And at this price, anyone in Kali Yuga can afford to buy these seven treasures. So this first verse describes the seven glorious gifts or treasures that one can obtain from chanting the holy name of Krishna, Nam Sankirtan. Of course, the ultimate treasure attained by Krishna Nam Sankirtan is love of God, Krishna Prem, which will manifest in anyone who chants the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna mantra, without committing any offenses. Srila Sanatana Goswami is telling the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the second part, chapter 3, verse 164. Nam Sankirtanam Proktam Krishnasya Primasampadi Balishtam Sadhanam Shrestam Paramakarsha Mantravad. This is translation. The most intimate and powerful means to attain the treasure of Krishna Prem is Nam Sankirtan. So it's sweet and it's powerful. It's like Aishwarya and Madhurya. It's intimate and it's the most intimate and most powerful. Nam Sankirtan is supremely attractive, just like a mantra. Just like mantra means, like in medicine or in tantra, they use different mantras. So it's mystical and it creates such wonderful effect. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing his entire treasury of moods and bhavas, his feelings of love, in the Shikshastakam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving everything. Why? It's somewhat humorous explanation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving everything because he's stolen all the wealth of Radhika's heart. Therefore, it's very easy to give away stolen property. If I go into your house and I steal all your jewelry and all your money and all your television and everything, I go out and I say, listen, I'm giving all these things away. So when is pearl necklaces? Oh, you're so gracious and so kind. Oh, don't think anything of it. It's no problem. And it's all hot goods. I mean, so Krishna, this treasury, this prem nidhi, this nidhi means treasury or treasure, these treasures Krishna didn't have. Radharani had all these treasures. So Krishna, he didn't really steal them. They were attained by his surrender to the guru, to his gurus. But that's the analogy. He stole all the treasure. Now he said, listen everyone, Krishna Prema Padayate. You know, we say, Namo Mahavadana Krishna Prema Padaya. Krishna Prema Padaya. Pradaya. He's giving, freely giving. This is a pranam or a mantra of respect for Lord Chaitanya. He's freely giving away this treasure of Krishna Prem. Come to the marketplace of the holy name and take the gift of Krishna Prem. So, the first verse, Lord Chaitanya is glorifying the features and benefits of the commodity that he is selling in the marketplace. What is that commodity? It's the holy name. So we've purchased the holy name by our surrender and by our interest, by our need, by our necessity, by our good fortune. We receive the holy name of the Lord. This is our great fortune. And that's fortune, to have received, heard the holy name in one's ear. But then But what is the holy name? What will it do? What is its actions? What is the benefit of it? So in this verse, Lord Chaitanya, who's the father of the Sankirtan movement, we say Sri Krishna Sankirtan Param Vidyate. He's telling, but listen, this is what's inside here. Do you realize? Do you realize what you have? What the benefits are? What the treasures are? So what will happen to me? What will happen to me if I chant Hare Krishna? Oftentimes when we preach to someone, people say, well, what does it do? It's a mantra. It's like someone has some medicine or some pills or some magic pills or something. They say, well, if I take it, what will happen? Well, this will happen and that will happen. Well, if I chant this mantra, will my hair fall out? People say like that when they see all these bald-headed men, right? Well, like this, they have these funny conceptions. If I take this mantra, will it make me go crazy? Because I read in the newspaper that the Hare Krishnas are crazy people. They jump around, you know. And I guess it's true to some extent. Your hair will fall out and you will go crazy. And everybody's crazy one way or another. Might as well be crazy for God, instead of being crazy for mammon, as they say. In the Bible, mammon means maya. Maya means the illusory energy, the world of birth and death. And we're crazy for the spiritual sky, and the rest of the world is crazy for the material, you know, world, which is culminates in death. No one can deny that. And they're also crazy in their own way. So, what will happen to me if I chant the holy name? What's in it for me? And this is a rather, this is a definitely American term, but can't deny my ancestry. But this is a quotation. What goodies will I get by chanting Hare Krishna? What goodies? What good things will I get? After hearing all the benefits, the seven treasures, and all the good qualities that one will derive by chanting the holy name, one will naturally start to believe in it, or be at least curious and interested in it, and you may buy it. Yes, I'll buy it. I'll take it. You will start to believe in the power of the holy name, and you will develop faith, Shraddha, the first step on the path back home, back to Godhead. So the seven treasures. By chanting the treasures of the holy name, the treasure itself of the holy name of Sri Krishna Sankirtan, you will attain all kinds of perfections, which are transcendental to the material world. Of the many types of perfection, Lord Chaitanya describes seven in particular in verse 1. And he gives, in this verse, Chaitadarpana Marjanam, Bhavama Devakti Nivapanam, Lord Chaitanya is giving us great hope. Because practically speaking, this world is a very hopeless place. Especially as time marches on and so many anomalies and difficulties and natural disturbances, and everyone knows about all of that. But it's not a very hopeful place. But Lord Chaitanya is giving us great hope. Every sadhaka attains great hope. We contain all the way up to, you know, this sarvatma snapanam. Sarvatma, our entire being can be totally cleansed and pure and become totally spiritualized and see God and see ourselves and all these wonderful, magical, amazing spiritual attainments. This is the ultimate perfection that one will attain simply by three words. Hare Krishna and Rama. Three words, very simple, and very amazing effect. So it creates great hope in this verse by explaining how the chanting of the holy name progresses step by step to reveal seven consequences, results, and invaluable treasures. So these seven treasures are mentioned here in the first verse. Firstly, Chaitodarpana Marjanam. By chanting the holy name, the effect is cleansing the consciousness. The dirt of material desires becomes cleansed from the soul. Actually, these two are included in these three terms, Chaitodarpana Marjanam. Our consciousness, our mind, our heart. We have so many material desires. We want so many things. And we all have the experience from childhood up to boyhood or girlhood and adulthood of traveling the field of desire. When I was five, I wanted this and this and this, and then I got it, and what was the result? Momentary happiness, and then it breaks, or something happens, and then frustration or unhappiness, and then we travel on to more desires. And it's a sea of desires, one after the other. And even now, and in the middle of and we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whatever, still so many desires are there. And our experiences in life, although I keep repeatedly trying to fulfill these desires, material desires in various ways, they don't let me go. The desires don't let me go, and I don't really find that ultimate satisfaction or fulfillment that I'm hankering for. I fulfill one desire, and then right behind it, there's so many other desires waiting in line. Hey, what about me? I want fulfillment. Well, wait a minute, I just fulfilled one. No, but, and then what was the result? Another desire, and another. It's like waves in the ocean. You go to the ocean, can you count the waves? You get tired, you run out of numbers. One wave, two waves, the waves keep crashing on the shore, in the ocean. One, two, shh, shh. So they don't stop. So, is there any way to stop the desire? So the Buddhist philosophy is, yeah, you stop desire by, you know, giving up your body, or by merging in nirvana, but it's an impossible situation. So, what Chaitanya is telling, that these three words, in the Hare Krishna mantra, these words will remove the desires. The desires will vanish, just disappear. I thought I wanted so many things, and I started chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and all of a sudden my wants and my needs and my desires, they started to become less and less and less and less. And I became more and more satisfied and contented with practically nothing, simply by chanting. Where before I was introduced to this chanting, we would have so many material desires. Everyone has the experience. This is magic. And you can try repression, you can try meditation, sublimation, you can try many, many things, or many techniques and paths offered to try to create peace. Everyone wants a peaceful mind. But this is what Chaitanya is saying. This is the first treasure that one will get. The dirt of material desires will become cleansed from the soul. The second treasure one will get is Bhava Maha Devagni, that it gives liberation from all material forces and relativity. One actually gets, you know, first the mind and heart becomes cleansed, and then we can understand, oh, I'm in this material world, I'm being burned in this material world, I'm being scorched by the soul, the Atma, and different from the body, and I'm suffering due to this body. So many mental miseries, physical miseries, other people causing, etc., etc. And then the second installment, or second treasure, consequence of chanting the holy name, is that as one chants, he starts to separate from this whole world. He starts to leave this world behind. He leaves this material world is compared to a forest fire. So if you're in the forest, and then you find a cool lake, and the forest is burning everywhere, and you jump in a lake and go in the middle of the lake, you feel you're cool, you're protected. You're insulated, you're surrounded by cool water. Around you there's still the forest fire. But now you've gotten relief. For you, the fire is out. Because you're in the lake, the cool lake. Although it's burning around you. So this is the second treasure, that one gets liberation from all material forces and relativity. The third is it brings good fortune. The opening of the soul's treasure, right? And that's this line. Shreya Kairava Chandrika. This Kairava Chandrika, the moonlight shines on the white lotus, and the lotus opens at night. And so when the lotus opens, it's very beautiful. So our life becomes very beautiful and very fortunate when we chant the holy name of the Lord. And Shreyas means real fortune. Opening the soul's treasure. This is one way it's described. The innate resources of the soul are gradually awakened by the holy name. Positive goodness awakens within our heart and takes us to Vrindavan, Shreya Kairava Chandra Vitaranam. This is the third treasure. By chanting Hare Krishna, we'll start to realize that, oh, actually, now that I've gotten relief from this forest fire of material desire, I realize that I'm a spiritual entity. And then I'm part and parcel of the Supreme Personality, Sri Krishna. And he has his own domain, the spiritual world known as Vrindavan, and I have some position there, I have some favor there. So the third treasure of chanting Hare Krishna is we become attracted to Sri Vrindavan Dham. We become attracted to the spiritual sky to take part in the pastimes of the Lord there. So this is good fortune, this is great fortune. That's why it's called, it says Shreyas means ultimate fortune, eternal fortune, full benefit. Because if you're a poor man and someone says, don't you know that your uncle has left millions of dollars for you in a bank, is your name so-and-so, if you simply go there and show your identity card, then you will get all that money. It's already lying for you. Didn't you know that? Oh, really? I've been so poor for so long. I didn't know I had this fortune. And then you go and collect all that money and you become materially wealthy. So the holy name, this is the third treasure. It's Shreyas. It brings fortune. Don't you know? Don't you know? You're poor. You're poor in realization. You're poor in understanding. You are thinking all this time. You are a body. You are a material body with so many aches and pains and so many problems. But actually you're a blissful spiritual being. And you have you belong in the spiritual world. And you have a spiritual, loving relationship with the supreme transcendental lover. God is a lover. God is the ultimate lover. And you have a relationship with him. This is very fortunate. What are you rotting in this place for? So this is Shreyas. And it's white. It's a white lotus. And it opens in the night. There's a lotus called the Kamudi or Kairava. It's another name for Kairava or Kamudi. The regular lotus opens when the sun shines and the lotus flower opens. That's the pink lotus or even there's white lotuses. But Kairava is a night blooming lotus that when the moon rises, so it says Chandrika. The Chandrika, under the Chandra, Chandra means moon, under the rays of the moon, this white lotus of good fortune opens. So this is the analogy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was using. So this is the third treasure. This great fortune comes our way. The fourth treasure, then the holy name brings us under guidance of Krishna's spiritual energy, his personal energy, which is known as Swarup Shakti, Krishna's internal energy, Yogamaya. We come to the Vadu conception. It says, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vitaranam Vidya Vadu Jivanam. The word Vadu means a young bride. A young married lady, or girl, you can say, young lady. And vidya means knowledge, and jivana means life. So the fourth treasure, the holy name, it brings us to Shakti. Shakti is female. A bride, obviously, is female. We come to the Vadu conception, the conception of Vadu, or wife. In other words, the mood of conjugal devotion, Madhurya Bhav, where one is absolutely disposed for Krishna's enjoyment, unconditionally surrendered. He unconditionally surrenders everything for Krishna's maximum pleasure. Vidya Vadu Jivanam. So this chanting a holy name of the Lord is a light. Of course we'll get to that. This is the seventh treasure. It brings us to this concept. It can take us that far. That's our potential. Our innate potential to have conjugal love with God, or a loving relationship with God, in this mood of intimacy where we offer all of our body, all of our mind, all of our heart, everything for the pleasure of Krishna. This is known as Madhurya. So this is the seventh treasure. So it's represented by this phrase of Lord Chaitanya, Vidya Vadu Jivanam, means this. This is the treasure. This is the consequent, the result. The fifth treasure is that the holy name gives us we start to enter an ocean. What does it say in Sanskrit? Lord Chaitanya says, Anandam Buddhi Vardhanam. Right? So this is a phrase that was used by Srila Sridhar Swami. So we become particles in an ocean of joy. Right? Mavayam Sho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Krishna says in Gita that the jiva is an amsha, he's a tiny particle of God. We are godly, we're the same in quality with God, but not the same in quantity. So we become, he says, we become particles in the ocean of joy, tasting Krishna's ecstatic association in Vrindavan. Ambudi means ocean, and Ananda means as you, for everyone's heard this word, ananda means bliss, ecstasy, joy. And the sixth treasure is the joy of chanting Hare Krishna never becomes stale, hackneyed, or static, but always remains ever new, dynamic, and ecstatic. And that phrase is, it says, Pratipadam Purna Amrita Swadhanam. Pratipadam, pada means feet, like we say, you know, Gurupad or whatever. So at every step, Purna, complete nectar, Swadhanam, we taste. So this chanting is a whole. If we really chant properly, under guidance and with proper understanding, under guidance and association of advanced devotees, and with proper knowledge and application of that knowledge, if we chant the Maha Mantra, we will feel great happiness. It will not feel, oh, I remember 1975 when we joined a temple in Los Angeles. We called our brother in New York. I said, I joined the Hare Krishna movement. He said, oh, I used to live in Canal Street in Little Italy, which is in East Village. I think you probably know all these places better than me. And I saw Swami Bhaktivedanta in 1967. My brother was living there in Bleecker Street and all that whole thing. He's 6 years elder to myself. And I went there, I saw him, I went to that place, and I chanted Hare Krishna sometimes. I mean, you'll get out of it, it's nothing. You'll chant for maybe for a month or two, but it's really, now I'm doing EST training, and, you know, and all this other kind of things, so many other things, but not Hare Krishna. He said, so that was 1975, and it appears that we're still somewhat involved with the chanting of Hare Krishna. 30 years later, so I talked to him on the phone. Now when he calls me up, he calls me and says, Hare Krishna. He doesn't say it, you know, it's pretty clear. So it didn't become stale. It has always remained very dynamic, and I don't know about ecstatic and all these higher states of joy, but it's progressive, and it's always progressing. For all of us, I think so, otherwise you wouldn't be sitting here. So Lord Chaitanya is telling us here in his advertising campaign. He's advertising for the Nam Sankirtan. He says, listen, you should buy it. Please take it. It has three speeds, and it's, you know, like if you buy some machine, it has five-speed gearbox and a stereo and radial tires and air conditioning, and, you know, so all these features. So the holy name has seven treasures. Oh, I get all these treasures simply by chanting Hare Krishna? Well, let me try it. So that, therefore, that's why this verse represents Shraddha. You hear it, you get a little conviction. Oh, it's too good to resist. I should try it. Lord Chaitanya is saying, look, you'll get this, and you'll get this, and this, and this. Okay, I'll take it. Let me take it. So this is the sixth treasure. Is it never becomes stale or static, but always remains ever new and dynamic. The seventh treasure is that all parts of our existence become purified to the utmost when we take to the holy name. Because our existence is on many levels. We have physical existence, we have mental existence, psychic, metaphysical, the soul, emotional. There's many levels of the being. So, he's saying in the Sanskrit, he's saying, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sarva Atma Snapadam. He's saying that Sarva Atma, the complete Atma, because in Sanskrit the word Atma means body, the physical body, it means mind, the mental body, and also means, of course, the soul, the spirit body. Sarva Atma Snapadam. Snapadam means like snan. You heard these words, snan. It means cleansing, complete cleansing. Not only will the holy name affect us personally, but everyone who connects with this Nam Sankirtan will undergo the utmost purification, Sarvatma Snapanam. In other words, Sarvatma means our complete Atma will undergo a transformation by being clean, but also all Atmas, all Atmas who connect with the holy name. You're an Atma, I'm an Atma, we're all Atmas, although externally we're designated by nation, by nationality, we have a designation, by gender, by wealth, and so many things. But anyone who connects with or contacts the holy name, all Atmas will be cleansed. All Atmas will be cleansed. So this first verse, this Chaitadavana Marjanam, to analyze, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he gives this verse a title. First of all, he calls this verse refers to Shraddha, Chaitadavana Marjanam, and this is the Nishant Leela. Chaitadavana Marjanam refers to Nishant Leela, which is Radha and Krishna's pastimes of waking up in the morning, which we discussed already, 3:36 in the morning to 6 a.m. And then he gives it a title. He says, what is the most excellent form of sadhana, or you can say practice, by which we can realize God? Because there's many forms. There's yoga sadhana, and so many types of sadhana one can do. But he poses the question, what is the most excellent form of sadhana? And different acharyas, they give different titles for this verse. Some say the holy name of Krishna. Another title of the verse is cleansing the mirror of the heart. And I want to read another translation of this verse. This is from Sridhar Maharaj. He says, the holy name of Krishna cleanses the mirror of the heart and extinguishes the fire of misery. Fire of misery in the forest of birth and death. As the evening lotus blooms in the moon's cooling rays, the heart begins to blossom in the nectar of the holy name. So the heart is like a flower. Now the flower is closed. The spiritual flower of the heart is actually closed. It's because we're not realized. We're not perceiving or understanding God. So our spiritual flower of the heart is closed. But as the moon rays make the white lotus open, similarly, the nectar, because the moon has a type of nectar, the rays themselves are compared to Amrit, Chandra Amrit or Somaras, and they have a very soothing and cooling and energizing effect, especially on the white lotus. It makes it open and grow and gives it wonderful flavor. So the nectar of the holy name, when it shines on our hearts, when it enters our hearts, then the lotus of our heart starts to blossom. At last, the soul will awakens to its real inner treasure, a life of love with Krishna. Again and again tasting nectar, the soul dives and surfaces in the ever-increasing ocean of ecstatic joy. All conceivable phases of the self are fully satisfied and purified, and at last conquered by the all-auspicious influence of the holy name of Krishna. So this is a very interesting translation. Is Prakash here? Or maybe, can you go, there's at my desk in the temple, and underneath there's some books, under. So there's one Chaitanya Charitamrita there, you could bring that. It's in the temple room. As I forgot to bring that. Because also there's, in this particular verse, it's in the temple, underneath, in the middle, there's like books underneath the desk. In this particular verse, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he speaks a verse, and there's Prabhupada's translations there, which we want to read also, of course. And then he himself, Lord Chaitanya, he gives some commentary on the verse for two or three verses. He gives a little bit of elaboration in Bengali. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's acting as the perfect acharya, so he's giving Sanskrit, because Sanskrit is considered the language of authority, the authorized language for Shastra. Then he wants to explain it for his countrymen, so to speak, the Bengalis. So then he puts all the Shikshastakam Sanskrit verses, he puts in the Bengali language. And then it even gives further elaboration, because in the later verses, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is experiencing the Mahabhava of Radharani, when he speaks of Shlishyava Bharatam, and then he starts to speak out verses and stories and that explain the different, the kind of give some indication of the moods of Radharani's Mahabhava. You see it there, it's right under, it's in that desk. It's a golden color book. Yeah, that's it. Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai. Okay.
They just got new sets of the small ones. Very nice.
Oh, the small Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Yeah,
oh, I didn't see that. I saw small Bhagavatams. Now they have small Chaitanya.
Very beautifully done. High quality, but very readable.
Oh, wow. That's great. Is it published in India, or is it from overseas?
It's by the BBT in Europe, but printed in India.
Oh, that's great. Did you hear that? This is published in India a few years ago, the 9 volumes. Now, Chaitanya Charitamrita is in 9 volumes. Prabhupada published 17. Now it's in 9. Now, Maharaj says that they've taken these 9, I guess it's also 9 volumes?
Yes.
It's 9 volumes, but they made it small. Like the 1 volume, those little Hansaduta ones, those Bhagavatams, they made it smaller size, maybe like this or something?
About
this high, and thin, 1 inch thick. Like thinner, it means it's thinner paper, and maybe, you know, change the type font a little bit, and like that, smaller font. Or
quality.
High quality. Mm-hmm. That would be very nice, very wonderful. That's, thank you. That's good news. It's like we're trying to keep up with the world technology, right? The computer used to be this big, and then it's this big, and then it's this big. You know, smaller and smaller computers, smaller and smaller books. So in the last, this is the next to the last, or this, the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita contains these prayers. So Prabhupada gives, this is the translation by Srila Prabhupada to this verse, Chaitodarpana Marjanam. Let there be all victory for the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna, which can cleanse the mirror of the heart and stop the miseries of the blazing fire of material existence. That chanting, in other words, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, is the waxing moon, means getting bigger, that spreads the white lotus of good fortune for all living entities. It is the life and soul of all education. The chanting of the holy name of Krishna expands the blissful ocean of transcendental life. It gives a cooling effect to everyone and enables one to taste full nectar at every step. So, this is a, so Sarvatma Snapanam, he's saying, this is what he's saying, he's taking, bathing the souls and atmas, right? Sarvatma, so Prabhupada's saying, Sarvat means everyone gets a cooling effect, enables one to take, so this is a beautiful translation. Now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in 2 verses, he kind of summarizes these teachings in Bengali. Sankirtana hoite pap samsara nashan chitta shuddhi sarva bhakti sarana udgam. And then the translation, Mahaprabhu said, by performing congregational chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, one can destroy the sinful condition of material existence, purify the unclean heart, and awaken all varieties of devotional service. He's saying Sarva Bhakti Sarana Udgam. Sarva Bhakti Sarana. So all the varieties, in other words, Vaidhi Sadhana, Raghunuga Sadhana, Bhava Bhakti, Prema Bhakti, these are the kinds of devotional service. Right? Sarva Bhakti Sarana Udgam means to awaken. So that's what happens. We chant Hare Krishna. We begin, Prabhupada would say, just chant Hare Krishna. Don't worry, rules, regulations, anything. Just chant this Hare Krishna mantra. So then we would chant, and then someone say, actually, there's something called sadhana bhakti. Acha. Yes, sadhana bhakti. And there's Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and then we practice, and then if we're chanting very nicely, then we develop some greed and some attraction for Krishna. Then we go to the second level of sadhana bhakti, Raghunuga sadhana bhakti, and if we practice that, and we music chant very nicely, then a holy name will purify our practice of Raghunanga Sadhana Bhakti and elevate us and bestow upon us the privilege and entrance into Bhava Bhakti. So this is what Lord Chaitanya is saying in Bengali. Then he says, because this verse, he's telling the Sambandha and the Abhideya of this verse in Bengali, and now he goes on. Krishna Premodgama Prema Amrita Aswadan Krishna Prati Seva Amrita Samudra Majan. Mahaprabhu said, the result, the end result of chanting is that one awakens his love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Udgam. So this is the prayojana. He's saying that if you chant, you'll practice all forms of bhakti. It'll awaken different devotional service. Just chant Hare Krishna and you'll awaken a desire to practice devotional service. And you'll practice one level, first level. Just enroll in college and you start studying biology 101 and then 201 and then 301 and then 401 and pretty soon you're associate professor and a professor or whatever. So now he's saying, not only that, it will awaken Krishna Prem. And then when you're on that level of Krishna Prem, Prem Amrit Aswadan, you will taste all the nectaring flavors of Prem, the different, the bhakti ras, the combinations of different rasas. Then what will happen? This is the krama, this is the sequence. Krishna Prem will awaken, you'll begin to taste nectar at every step. This is the Bengali way of saying, take amrit swadanam, prem amrita aswadanam, then Krishna prapti, seva amrita, samudre majan. You'll get Krishna. You'll capture that little cowherd boy. By chanting Hare Krishna is like a rope, like Mother Yashoda tied Krishna with a rope. So the chanting of the Maha Mantra is like a rope, and you'll prapti. Prapti means you'll acquire, you'll attain, you'll capture Krishna. And when you capture him, he'll say, oh, what are you going to do with me now that you've captured me? Well, what do you want me to do? Well, I want you to serve me. Okay. And then I serve Krishna, and then what happens? By serving him, I taste amrit. It's blissful to serve Krishna. It's very joyful and happy and produces happiness in my mind and heart. A certain joy, an inexplicable joy that one experiences by serving Krishna, even the most simple service, or to speak on a level of prem. That's called prem seva. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's saying, Krishna prem udgam, prem amrita aswan, Krishna prapti, seva amrita, samudra majan. He's saying that you capture Krishna. Hey, what are you doing? You captured me. What are you going to do with me? Oh, I don't know. What do you want me to do? Well, serve me. Okay, what do you want? Well, can you make a garland for me? Okay, I'll make a garland. So I start making a garland for Krishna. And by doing that, I start to drown. I start drowning. It says, majan. Majan means immersing, drowning. I become submerged in an amrit samudre, in an ocean of nectar, by doing seva to Krishna on his order, or the order of his associates. It's called agya. This is one of the symptoms of the sarup, is it? There's an agya, there's an order. Guru agya, the order of guru. Krishna agya, Radha agya. Srupa Manjari agya, their wish, their order. So these are the two verses that Lord Chaitanya uses to explain this Chaitodarpana Marjanam. So these are the two translations, Srila Prabhupada's translation. And now, this is, because what we've seen in our study of the Bhajan Rahasyam, because we were discussing this book with some different devotees, and there's different ways by which this book is approached, this Bhajan Rahasyam. And one way is that throughout this book you'll see that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's taking this Shikshastakam, and he's giving supporting verses. He's meditating on different sections of the verse, Shikshastakam, like Chaitodarpana Marjanam, which is one of the treasures. He's chanting the holy name, as we mentioned in the beginning, late at night, and he's thinking of this verse, and he's thinking of the conditioned souls in one moment or one time, and then he submerges in spurti, merges in spurti in his spiritual identity as Kamala Manjari, and he renders service there in Astakali Lila. And then when he comes back to Bahir consciousness, external consciousness, then he thinks, oh, this Chaitodarpana Marjanam. And then he thinks of a verse, and some verse comes in his heart and in his mind. There is a very nice verse from Bhagavatam or from Raghunath Das Goswami, which explains this. And if someone reads this verse and meditates on this verse, this will help them understand this treasure that Lord Chaitanya is speaking about, and this will increase their faith. Because the entire progress of spiritual life is based on faith. The stronger our faith, the quicker we progress in spiritual life. And so faith is absolutely essential to strengthen our faith in Krishna, in Guru, in the process of bhakti or sadhana. So whatever means we can do, however we can do that to increase or improve our faith, that's very important. So the Chaitodarpana Marjanam, in this verse, Lord Chaitanya is creating the foundation for spiritual advancement, faith, Shraddha. So this is the devotional quality that we want to attain and strengthen and improve. And everyone can, because this faith, what faith is? Faith is the seed of prema. And prema, the pure love of Godhead, is simply the mature expression of faith. Shraddha, we take our shraddha, our faith in God, it's in our hands, and then we carry that to the sadhus, to the saintly people. We say, listen, look, I have a little faith in my hands. And they say, that's very nice. Let us improve that faith. Let us increase that faith. And then they teach us how to improve that faith. When that faith increases, and then it develops, and then it starts to transform. The faith itself, it transforms and becomes steady, and our faith gets thicker and stronger. And then the faith itself goes through transformations as it starts to manifest as nishtha and ruchi and prema. And then the faith itself transforms us. Faith becomes prema, and we become premis or premikas. So in this first verse, Chaitodarpana Marjanam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's giving a commentary. He gives a commentary on the Shikshastakam. So, the way we chose to present this book is we wanted to, the Bhajan Mahasim, in order to understand how he's to arrive at the conclusions that Bhaktivinoda is presenting here on Bhajan. And we want to go through each prayer with his, discussing his commentaries, which he's given in another book on the Shikshastakam, the commentaries, because in his book on Shikshastakam, which is another book, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is analyzing each of these prayers, and then in this book, in his meditation, in the later part of his life, again he's reflecting on Shikshastakam and giving supporting verses. So we want to blend those together to deeply understand these 8 teachings of Lord Chaitanya, because if we understand these teachings, then we can actually, this will give shape and give direction to the bhajan which he's trying to tell us about. Because the basic bhajan which he's telling is to chant Hare Krishna. This is the rahasya. But in that, to understand the chanting of Hare Krishna, we need all of this tattva and these explanations of the Shikshastakam, because Lord Chaitanya is giving everything in the Shikshastakam. As we heard the expression, Prabhupada says, I've given you everything in my books. Everything. So Lord Chaitanya has given us everything from Shraddha to Mahabhav in the Shikshastakam. So this is how the balance of the course will go. The different, we'll analyze the Shikshastakam with the verses that are given in Bhajan Rahasyam and with other commentaries. And then we'll try to follow the trend of what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling us here in Bhajan Rahasyam, to apply this to our practice of chanting of Hare Krishna, because this is Nam-Bhajan. This is our Bhajan. And Nam-Bhajan brings everything. So this first phrase, Chaitodarpana Marjanam, cleanses. Is there any questions or any comments at this point? Srimati, your old senior and Maharaj. So I'm just reading, as I said. Sometimes something comes, but so this is how it will go, like this. And Because I was putting everything together like this, so this is what we put together. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that these words, Cheta Dharpana Marjanam, Cheta means consciousness, Dharpana means mirror, and Marjanam means to cleanse or to purify. In other words, to purify our mind. Purify means to remove the things, the contamination, those lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, all these, what are, for spiritual improvement, are considered bad qualities and dirt on the consciousness. These words reveal the truth of the original form of the jiva. The Supreme Lord Krishna is all-pervading consciousness. And that Sanskrit term for that is vibhu. Vibhu means great, and chaitanya means consciousness. Vibhu chaitanya. And the jiva, we as a soul, jiva, we are infinitesimal consciousness. That means atomic. And the word is anu, anu chaitanya. Each jiva has an individual spiritual identity. Right, this is basic. Chinmay sarup, which consists of pure ego. In other words, now we think we're the body, whatever. But the sense of I, the pure ego, the sense of I, pure consciousness and a spiritual body. So this in itself, for a beginner, is astonishing information that we have a spiritual body, that we have a spiritual identity, ego. So this is something for the new beginner, it's something. When the soul's vision is turned away from the Lord, anadi bahir mukh, and absorbed in material enjoyment, then the pure ego and the pure consciousness become contaminated with the dirt of ignorance. Lord Chaitanya compares the heart or the consciousness to a mirror. As you can't see your face in a mirror covered with dirt, the living entity can't see its actual spiritual form in its heart covered with the dirt of ignorance. As one chants the holy name of Krishna, the mirror consciousness becomes purified. This is the whole principle of this non-bhajan, chanting, and we experience, everyone, as Krishna tells in Gita, this is directly experienced, this dharma of nam, of Bhagavad Dharma, we experience the truth ourselves, within ourselves. So this is what Bhaktivinoda is explaining. As one chants, the pure consciousness becomes cleansed. I mean, the mirror of this pure consciousness becomes cleansed. And one sees the reality of five truths. So these are what Bhaktivinoda is saying is the five truths that Krishna tells in Gita. If we chant Hare Krishna, that's why it said, we don't need anything but chanting Hare Krishna. We don't even need Bhagavad Gita. Although, this is very helpful to get Tattvasiddhanta, and Prabhupada gave it to us. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, if we chant, the chanting itself, and this Cheto Dharma Marjan shows that our consciousness will become cleansed by chanting Hare Krishna, and five truths will be manifest to us. The five truths of the Gita. The Ishvara Tattva, in other words, that the Supreme Lord is a person. Ishvara means the controller, the absolute controller, God. And that the jiva, we'll realize the jiva, that I am a hum brahmasmi, I am spirit, I am a spiritual particle. And prakriti, we'll understand what it is, this material nature. And the time factor and fruit of activities or karma. This is the Bhagavad Gita. So chanting Hare Krishna will realize the Bhagavad Gita by chanting Hare Krishna. When the mirror of the consciousness is completely cleansed, one sees his own sarup. In his spiritual body as Krishna's eternal servant. In the mood of Dasya Bhav, Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, or Kinkari Bhav, Manjari Bhav. So this is Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, his commentary, he's explaining, well, this is like lots of philosophy and lots of and of course pastimes are also there, but the pastimes are given when one is involved, one remembers the pastimes, and the sadhaka is not on the level of pastimes, where they teach this book is that they read or they discuss the pastimes just to hear of them each day. So, but they have like four classes a day, so I'm giving the philosophy, and we can also, one of the classes or more, we can discuss the pastimes also. Bhaktisiddhanta says that the mirror of the heart is contaminated and covered by the dust of three types of material contamination. And he calls these three types of deceit or cheating. He says, Anyabhilash, desires separate from the interest and pleasure of God. That sounds pretty familiar to all of us. It's called Anya. Abhilash means desire, and Anya means other. So this is considered, because we say Cheto Dharvana Margin. Margin means to clean. So if you're cleaning something, that means there must be some dirt. And what are we cleaning? We're cleaning our minds. Like sometimes when we're children in school, if someone says, in the old days, if someone would say a bad word or a curse word, then the teacher would say, well, wash out your mouth with soap. Go take some soap and wash your mouth with soap, because your mouth has said something bad. This is an old thing. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says that we have to wash up, and Lord Chaitanya is saying we have to cleanse our consciousness. So, Anyabhilash, desire separate from the interest and pleasure of Krishna. The third is foul bhog, the desire to enjoy the fruits of worldly activities. Foul, P-H-A-L means, in Sanskrit, it means fruit. Bhog means to enjoy the fruits. In other words, the desire to enjoy worldly activities. It's basically similar to Anyabhilash. Then foul tyag, T-Y-A-G-A, tyag, means renunciation. In other words, all this world, when I try to enjoy this world, I find it's very frustrating and I try to enjoy it, doesn't last long, it's temporary, and always often ends in disappointment or unhappiness. So forget it. I just won't take part. Non-cooperation. Renunciation. But it's not undertaken for the pleasure of Krishna. So as long as our mind or consciousness is contaminated, as long as we're in that position, the pure spiritual form of the living entity will not be reflected in the mirror of the heart. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is telling. What is the solution? Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. By chanting Hare Krishna mantra, all these obstacles will be removed, the heart will be cleansed, and one will understand, I am the servant of Krishna. That's a beautiful realization. And sometimes, even when one initially realizes that he's a servant of Krishna, because he has not fully cleansed the mirror, or some wind blows some dust from the field onto his mirror, and again the mirror in his house becomes covered with dirt, he forgets that he's a servant of Krishna. This is innate, being in the material world, and we're still in it. Our mirror of consciousness can become covered again. And we forget, and then we again try to enjoy. Now, I have a few other explanations of this. This is, to me, it's very interesting. I don't know about anyone else, but I really enjoyed. I collected the commentaries of different acharyas and the essence of their commentaries, and I'm just reading them. And if you have any questions on them, we can discuss. And if I have any ideas, we'll try to share them. So this is another commentary. If the mirror of the mental system is covered with dust, we can't see things clearly, and scriptural advice cannot be properly reflected there. In other words, oftentimes, I remember sometimes preaching in the West, and we were explaining the Bhagavad Gita, how that beyond this body there is a soul, the hinashmanyata, and the person said, I don't understand, it doesn't make sense. We're only this body. That's all there is. It's just this body. What is this soul? I can't see it. I don't believe in it. It's impossible. So the mental system of this person, their mind, they couldn't conceive. They couldn't see. They just couldn't have any idea that there is such a thing. There's something beyond the body. There's something more. There's an observer in the body. Someone who's experiencing the body. There's an atma. There's a soul. But if one chants the holy name, then the scriptures, if they read them, like someone will get Prabhupada's books, and say, I can't understand it. These books, they don't make any sense. So that's why we always encourage people, please chant Hare Krishna. Read the books about chant Hare Krishna. Because this Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that it will give us, as it says, we can't see things clearly, and scriptural advice cannot be properly reflected there in our consciousness. So when a chit of chaito, when the consciousness is cleansed, then when you read the Bhagavad Gita, then it will reflect, it will be seen, your consciousness will be a little clean, and then when you read the scriptures, when you read, then that knowledge will be reflected in your consciousness, and you can reflect upon it, and you can think upon it, and understand, yes, this is correct. I'm not the body. I'm traveling in this body. I'm traveling in this body from babyhood to youth to old, middle age and old age. And as a baby has a body, a new body is a man, an old man will have a new body as a new baby, changing bodies. This is the thing. What is the dust covering the mirror of the mind? Our infinite ordinary desires of this mundane world are the dust. Bhukti mukti siddhakami sakaleya shanta Krishna bhakti naishkama sakale adeva shanta. He cites this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That people say, oh, I want to be, my mind is so disturbed. I feel so agitated. I feel so disturbed. I'm not very peaceful. So it's telling, Krishna's coverage is telling, that's because you have desire. There's too many desires for bhukti, enjoyment. But if you chant Hare Krishna, become Krishna Bhakta Naichkam, you say, oh, what do you want to do? I chant Hare Krishna. I don't need anything more. No, but you should get a job. Get a job, do something. But really, what is the aim of life? The aim of life is to be happy, peaceful, joyful, isn't it? Of course, we may have to have some work and engage in something, but at the same time, if you want the joy, the work won't give you joy or peace, but chanting Hare Krishna will. So he's saying the first effect of chanting the holy name gives us the end result of Varnashram Dharma. This is a very, very beautiful statement. Varnashram Dharma is a social system. It's the four orders, spiritual orders, and four social orders. Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. And student labor class, and then worker class, and martial class, and Brahmins. So it's called Varnashram Dharma, the Vedic social system. So what is the end result of the whole idea of why we have different ashrams and why we have different varnas is to purify the consciousness. Because there's ashram dharma and varna dharma. There's rules and regulations, and there's activities that one does in every varna and every ashram. And the goal of that is to purify the consciousness, to purify the mind, so that one can understand God. So Hare Krishna, okay, all solved. Simply by chanting Hare Krishna, you attain the end result, of varna ashram dharma. What is the end result of varna ashram dharma? Dharma, art, kam, moksha. The end result is moksha. All the ashrams lead to moksha. All the varnas lead to moksha. So moksha means to become free. Bhava mahadavagni nirvatanam. Become free from bodily concept of life. To become liberated from the bodily concept of life. That is one moksha. To think, to realize, I'm not man, I'm not woman, I'm not of this world, I'm eternal spiritual being. That's a type of moksha, liberation. So a new bhakta chants for 1 week, and one week he's chanting Hare Krishna, he realizes, wait a minute, I'm actually a spiritual being. I'm made of joy, and I feel that inherently within myself, I feel that there's a lot of joy in there. And somehow it's been covered with all those anxieties and thinkings and hankerings and wants, but let me bust out of all these shells and coverings. And after 1 week, and he actually realizes the end result of the whole Varnashram Dharma. This is an interesting. So purification of the heart and mind, then we can understand Vedic advice. So this is one commentary. Another commentary, because the heart and mind are covered with desires of material enjoyment, we can't see the sweet forms and qualities of Sri Krishna can't be seen clearly in the mirror. the clearer, the more we make the consciousness pure, the more the object, and we can see the object. So as we chant Hare Krishna more and more, then we can start to see the sweet form and qualities of Krishna more and more clearly. So this is the meaning of Chaito Darpana Marjanam. As you clean, if you clean the mirror a little bit, as I gave that analogy the other day, we can see the feet, our feet, if we clean the bottom of the mirror, clean the middle of the mirror, a full-length mirror, then you see your knees. You clean the whole thing, you see your entire form. So if we chant a little bit, then we get some realizations, the end of Anishram, and become a little bit liberated from the bodily concept of life. We chant a little more, and keep chanting, then we start to realize that the name of Krishna is not different from Krishna. It is Krishna. Then we chant more and more cleansing, then the form of Krishna will be seen in that mirror of the heart. Another commentary. This is very interesting commentary. And we had heard a tape on this, and then we asked one pundit here, because this I'd never heard before, and he said, this is correct. So Lord Chaitanya is telling, Chaito Darpana Marjanam, so he's referring to Chitta. So Chitta, this Chit is called consciousness. Sometimes the word Chit or Chait is translated as heart, as mind, as consciousness, but it is also explained that Chitta is the ninth. And we have Bhumiya Purnalo Vayu Kamano Buddha Evaha. Krishna says there's the eight coverings, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These are the eight coverings of the Atma. Right? Five are gross and three are subtle. Right? There's mind, man, bud, ahankar. These are subtle. The mind, the intelligence, and the ego. And then the gross ones are earth. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, like this. So the ninth covering, chitta, is considered a ninth covering. This is how it's explained. It's the last covering of the soul. It's much finer than false ego. It is made of the mahatattva, the unmanifested, which is defined as the unmanifested aggregate of material energy. Chitta is extremely fine and subtle. It's like something like glass, like a very thin layer of glass. On this glass, or mirror you can say, because a mirror, what is a mirror? A mirror is a piece of glass with some mercury oxide or some chemical put on the back of it, which when combined with glass creates a reflective surface. And when that chemical comes off, then you have a piece of glass, especially Indian mirrors. In the West, you don't have experience of this, but if you buy an Indian mirror, you're using it for a couple months or days or whatever, and this backing falls off, and you don't have any mirror anymore. You have to live here to know what we're talking about. So on this glass, the chitta, so many upadis, or designations, and nartas, and material desires, and the influence of ignorance, passion, and goodness, which are the three modes, with the mind, intelligent, false ego, all of these things are actually on the chitta. When we chant the transcendental kirtan, which we will explain what is the difference between kirtan and transcendental kirtan, it cleanses all these unwanted things from the chitta. When the chitta is a little cleansed by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we realize that everything that we are experiencing is only Krishna. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. I have two tapes in Hindi where Vaishnav Das came here to this room and explained this to me. He's the biggest pundit. It's really incredible. Vaishnav Das is his gentleman name is Vishwanath Chakravarti. He's a Brahmin. He gives lecture every day. He's a disciple of Anantadas Pandit. I think it's a Vaishnav. What is it? Vaishnapada. They say Vaishnapada for some reason. But he's Vaishnapada Das. And he's a Bengali Brahmin from birth. He's about 34 years old and he's, Chaturvedi. So he lectures here. Have you heard this person? He speaks Bengali and Hindi also. Little English. So he's saying that when we chant Hare Krishna a little bit, and the chitta is a little cleansed, we'll realize that everything we're experiencing is only Krishna. And of course, this is Bhagavad Gita, and that's what he cited. Bahunam, the 7th chapter of Bahunam Gita, 19th verse. Bahunam janmanamante, gyanavam mam prapadyante, vasudeva savamati, samahatma sudralava. So by chanting Hare Krishna a little bit, you will become a sudralava mahatma. Mahatma means, you've heard the term, Mahatma Gandhi. He's a great soul, but a very rare great soul, a very rare saint. just by chanting. Everything is simply being reflected on our chitta, but we are so ignorant that we are identifying with the material body and claiming everything as mine. My body, my wife, my home, my country. All this thinking is the action of false ego, illusion. By the association with pure devotees, and by contact with a little, this is what he said, by contact with a little Shuddha Nam, which is not so easy, but by contact with the pure name, one feels that everything is just the energy of Krishna reflected on this chitta. But I am not this body. I am transcendental spirit soul. I have no birth, no death. I can't be shot, killed, burned. So this is a little bit of a summary, because it's like a long thing. So the chitta, chaito dhapana marjanam, the mirror of chitta. When chitta is a little clean, we see in the chitta that you will see in the chitta, you are spirit. Then later, you will see that your soul has a beautiful face, eyes, form, ornaments, and everything. You'll also see Radha and Krishna, Vrindavan, and how you are serving them there. You'll see your Gurudev also. All will be seen in the chitta. Sadhakas in the material world will realize that all these things are reflected in his chitta by the influence of Yoga Maya. So now what? By the influence of Mahamaya, or this material energy, external energy, everything in this world, our body, our friend, is all reflected on this thin piece of glass called the chitta, and then we say, because of false ego and identity, we say, this is all mine. This is all mine. But then when that's cleansed, then Yoga Maya, she will take, because as we say, the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Everything's upside down. Here it's all matter, and there everything's spirit. So when everything is washed out, when all the material world is washed off our chitta, then Yoga Maya, which is the spiritual energy of Krishna, will start reflecting all the objects and people and places of the spiritual world. We'll see that in our chitta. And we'll say, oh, this is mine. This is my Mamata. This is my Krishna and my Radha. And this is my body. I'm so-and-so Manjri, and this is my Seva. This is my cow and my lake and my everything. This is my Radhakund. So the sadhaka in the material world will realize all these things reflected in his chitta by the influence of Yoga Maya, but he can't enter. It's like seeing cakes behind glass in a cake shop, but you can't touch them or taste them. You don't have so many cake shops in Vrindavan, but or maybe sweet shops. Oh no, in a Krishna Mahalan temple, right? Yeah. Okay, well, you could say the old thing was, if you go in the temple, there's a little maha cake, you know, what do you call it, glass case, and the maha is underneath the glass. Some rasgullas and some, you know, whatever, cakes and cookies. And you can look, unless you pay the 25 rupees, you can't get them. So it was a very funny analogy. It's like seeing cakes behind glass in a cake shop, but you can't touch or taste them. After some time, the vision of all these things disappears. Then the sadhaka laments, like Raghunath Das Goswami in Vilap Kusumanjali. He rolls on the ground at Radhakund, crying every day, feeling so much separation from Radha. One minute, Raghunath Das Goswami, he thinks, I'm Rati Manjri. I'm serving Radharani. I'm performing seva for her pleasure. Then the next moment, that realization, or spurti, or divine vision, breaks and leaves his consciousness, and he feels, oh, I'm only Raghunath Das Goswami, I'm only Raghunath Das Goswami, a sadhaka in this world. I'm seeing Vrindavan, But where there's no Radha, there's no Krishna, there's no Seva, again he absorbs himself in chanting, and by the influence of Yoga Maya, again another pastime of Radha and Krishna comes into his heart. This example is there for us. At the end of life, or before that, if we become pure in consciousness, Chaito Dhavana Marjanam, we can break the glass of the chitta. We can break this glass, it's this chitta, which is like a mirror, and enter into the Nitya Lila, eternal pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In other words, we can go into the cake shop and smash the cabinet and grab all the cakes. The chitta can't be understood by a material mind. It's much higher than mind. It can't be understood. We can't even understand intelligence with the mind, or understand ego with the intelligence. Chitta is material, but it's very, very fine. When the chitta is clean, Chaito Dhavana Marjanam, the soul can be seen. It gives a vision of the soul. By performing non-sankirtan, the heart becomes cleansed, and we will realize that all of this and see the soul as it really is. Or let's say, as it is. So this is the Chaito Dhavana Marjanam. So now, tomorrow we'll read some verses from Vajrahasyam and discuss Bhaktivinoda Thakur's later illuminations on this same idea of Chaito Dhavana Marjanam. Is there any questions or comments? I would say, I wouldn't really call this a class, I would call this a reading. So I don't know. I wish I could just sit here and see all of your lotus faces and communicate eye to eye and heart to heart and have realized these things and really just pour it all out of my heart and distribute it and share it. But you're writing now, but I wrote last week, and now you're writing. You're like the student's writing, but I also wrote last week. So I'm only a student of these things, but by your encouragement and by our coming together, we're hoping that Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas will bless us for our collective sincerity on the banks of Radhakund and our sincerity to try to do bhajan and attain Krishna prema, that we will all be blessed with real, genuine benefit from investing our time in these daily classes. Thank you very much for coming. Shiva Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki.
Vancha Kopa Chubhya's chat. Kripa Sindhu Vajra's.
That was a real...